The Lord Jesus give you his peace. We begin this holy season of Lent with a threefold meditation on the threefold practice, almsgiving, fasting, prayer. This morning, I'd like to focus on prayer. Prayer is the action necessary for salvation, and there's a very important teaching here in Matthew 6 as far as going into your inner room and praying. So just kind of looking at this phrase in sacred scripture, and kind of revolving around the mystery of what actually that does mean. I think we all have kind of an intuitive sense of what going into the inner room does mean, but there might be some things that we can kind of garner from sacred scripture to help us enter more deeply into this mystery. This inner room is one word. It is tamion in the Greek, and it's almost like a supply room or storeroom. It's a first floor room. It can be kind of a closet or a secret place. But also can be a dispensary from which other things flow out of. One of the main associations of this inner room in sacred scripture is a place of refuge. Perhaps the closest parallel that we have with Matthew 6 is in Isaiah 26, verse 20, where we hear the prophet says, "Go, my people, enter into thy inner chambers, shut thy door, hide thyself for a little season until the anger of the Lord has passed away." And Lent is a bit like that. It is a season of testing, a season of purification that certainly for personal sins, but also for social sins, we enter into a mystery of repentance where as we strive to gain union with our Lord, we also can make atonement for the sins of others. This is the season of Lent. You might think of this inner room in terms of, you probably have heard of the story of Immaculée Ilibagiza, who in Rwanda was shut in a small room for, I'm not quite sure how long, 90 days thereabout, as all those outside were trying to kill her and her companions in a genocidal conflict. In the spiritual realm, there's a reality there that there are demons, certainly, that are out to trip us up and to drag us down into hell. And so there's a refuge that we want to enter into. And the basic overall message this morning is to enter early, often, into this place of refuge through the Holy Rosary. And you might know from your own experience, at least my own take on things, is that there's no quicker, easier, surer, more beautiful way to enter into the secret room of one's heart than with the Holy Rosary. And in the morning is that time of day that is privileged, whereby you can shelter throughout the whole day, your interior. And that's the basic message, and we'll kind of revolve around that mystery, and St. John of the Cross will help us to look at it a bit more deeply as well, but that's the major practical aspect of it. The tamion in a room is, in Ecclesiastes, drawn a parallel with one's conscience, and that's kind of intuitively what we suspect, that this inner chamber that we're supposed to shut the door is I have to enter into my heart of hearts, my conscience. This is Ecclesiastes 10. Even in thy conscience, curse not the king interiorly, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. There's a parallel there, and this inner room being the conscience. Proverbs 20, the spirit of man is a light of the Lord who searches the inmost chambers. And that's been given to us by the Lord, and in fact, it's of divine origin. It's a place of encounter as well that we'll learn too. It's also that all will be revealed, everything that we speak in these inner rooms. Luke 12, for whatsoever things you have spoken in darkness shall be published in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear in the inner chambers shall be preached on the housetops. And this actually is panned out with the prophet Elisha, who as a prophet is revealing all the things that the king is speaking in his inner chamber. He knows it by the Spirit of the Lord, and he's publishing it abroad. That is a sign of the last judgment, where all the inner secrets will be revealed. Okay. We also have to be careful, because in this inner chamber, we might feel safe, but there can be enemies within. For example, Samson. Delilah set snares for Samson, trying to trip him up, and it was the Philistines who were hiding in this inner chamber. In the thought of St. Teresa of Avila, as we enter into the inner room, there are these reptiles that also can enter in. Samson broke free of those cords, almost like threads that he snapped, and so we see that they're easy, well, we can say hopefully easily overcome with the grace of God, but we should be aware that they are there, and they wish to thrust us out of that inner chamber. It can be filled with iniquity if we sin. This is Ezekiel 28. You have filled your inner chambers with iniquity and have sinned, and consequently can be filled with plagues. The frogs that were sent to Egypt were sent to the inner chambers of the Egyptians to plague them. And it could also be a place of death. The woman Folly and the harlot portrayed in the book of Proverbs, her house is the way of hell leading down into the chambers of death. So this is all the mystery of the human heart, and it's a major battleground. It's the place where everything that is affected outwardly begins. It also is a place of weeping. When the daughter who was to marry Tobias prior to their coming together, she wept because the seven husbands previously had been killed by the demon. And it's a place where our tears are received. Our tears are received and we are comforted and promised joy. It's a chamber wherein we are drawn by the king in the Canticle of Canticles. They have drawn thee, we will run after thee, for the smell of thee or ointments, the king has brought me into the inner chamber. And we can see that there's both an active entering into, but there's also a passive where we actually enter in. It's a place of anointing, where Elisha is sent to anoint a king in the inner chamber and brings him in. And we are anointed with the grace of the Holy Spirit in this inner chamber and filled with blessings. It's also a chamber of our mother. This is the Canticle of Canticles. It was as a little while after that I parted from them that I found him whom my soul loves. I held him and did not let him go until I brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. And there's a conception that goes on there, which is a conception of grace in the conscience to justify us. And in one sense, we can think of it as entering into Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. It's a couple passages in the Canticle of Canticles. It's a place of union. It's a place where there's a consummation with the beloved, and that is to what we are called. It's also a place of intercession. It's where Bathsheba goes in to see King David into this inner room, and King David asks, "What is your request?" And she has this petition that is heard. And it's a place that's filled with blessings, and it's a place that we can store up alms. And that's related to this injunction for Lent as well. This is Sirach 29. Lose your money for your brother and your friend, and let it not rust under a stone to be lost. Lay up your treasure according to the commandments of the Most High, and it shall bring you more profit than gold. Shut up alms in your storehouses or in your inner chambers, and it shall deliver you from all affliction. It shall fight for you against your enemies better than a mighty shield and a strong spear. So these are the merits for good works. And it's the merits for even almsgiving that we're called to do during Lent. St. John of the Cross has, as a doctor of the interior life, profound insights on this inner chamber that we can gain some profit from, and here's a few of them. It should be known, this is from the Spiritual Canticle, on the first stanza of the Spiritual Canticle, 6 and forward. It should be known that the Word, the Son of God, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, is hidden by his essence and his presence in the innermost being of the soul. Individuals who want to find him should leave all things through affection and will, our attachment to creatures. Enter within themselves in deepest recollection and let all things be as though not. St. Augustine, addressing God in the soliloquies, said, "I did not find you without, Lord, because I wrongly sought you without, who were within." God then is hidden in the soul, and there the good contemplative must seek him with love, exclaiming, "Where have you hidden?" That's the stanza that he's written. He's commenting on a poem that he himself has written. "Where have you hidden, my beloved?" And a couple points just to tease them out real quick. One is that we should rejoice in this mystery. In other words, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the very love of who is God, and the very draw and origin of our souls is within. And enter into that joy this Lent. Lent certainly is penitential, but it's also joyful. And the invitation is to meet him there, to meet him there. First truth. Second truth is this. "Yet you inquire," St. John of the Cross writes, "since he whom my soul loves is within me, Why don't I find him or experience him? So that's the brass tacks difficulty. All right, you tell me all this great stuff. I don't experience him. The reason is that he remains concealed, and you do not also conceal yourself in order to find and experience him. He's in secret, you're not in secret. If you want to find a hidden treasure, you must enter the hiding place secretly, and once you have discovered it, you will also be hidden, just as the treasure is hidden. Since then your beloved bridegroom is the treasure hidden in the field for which the wise merchant sold all his possessions, and that field is your soul, in order to find him, you should forget all your possessions and all creatures and hide in the secret inner room of your spirit, and there, closing the door behind you, which he says is your will to all things, you should pray to your Father in secret. Remaining hidden with him, you will experience him in hiding. That is, in a way, transcending all language and all feeling. So this is fundamental. It is also the very root of how profitable our Lent will be. Consequently, we spent a good amount of time of it this morning, entering into this hidden chamber to meet our Father who is hidden.
Et Jesus.